not leave now, but leave and take the message of Jesus Christ with you. And it's awesome, awesome that we can do that. We're going to come around the Word now, which is great. And maybe a few of the guys can help me move some of this stuff. Would be awesome. But we're going to come around the Word of God and just see what God has to say to us tonight. Just like Dan was saying, it's not just another night. God is here to speak with us. He's alive. He's powerful. And that's going to be awesome tonight. Why don't we just pray together? And we'll just believe that God will just set our hearts ready for what He has to say. God, we thank You that we can come together tonight. We thank You that You are so good. We thank You that You've changed our life. You are changing our lives. And we're excited about what You're doing. And we just once again come to that place of surrender where we come and we expose all and we just come around the Word of God for it to change our lives and make us new. Yeah? Amen? All right. It looks like I'm doing it myself. All good. Thanks, Dan. Awesome. Awesome. So we're continuing a series called Moving Forward. Moving Forward. Felicia shared an awesome message last week. Jump on, get your apps, jump on the Hope Point app and download that podcast. Great, great message to inspire us, to move us forward. And tonight, I want to just build upon what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. That is this whole thought of moving forward. And I'm excited about what God's doing, and I just believe that as we move forward is how we're going to transform our community. I've got a question tonight. One question. How do we measure our movement? How do you measure your movement? How do we as an individual person measure our moving forward, the ability of us taking steps forward and our relationship with God, and how do we as a church measure whether we're moving forward? I think it's a really important question to ask, because unless we are able to measure whether we're moving forward, it's hard to know if we're actually moving forward. Who agrees? Yeah. And then it affects the way we transform our community. How do we measure our moving forward? If you walked in here tonight and you high-fived someone, you were jumping up and down, and you said, come on, man, I'm moving forward, what is the evidence in your life that you're actually moving forward? And although it's awesome that we come and we talk about this, we want to dig a little deeper and say, well, what is it that's actually going on in our lives that is evidence that we're moving forward? When I talk about moving forward, I'm talking about those of us here who are followers of Jesus Christ. We're on a journey, yeah? Who's on a journey? We're on a journey. And everybody's journey looks different, but for those of us here that have said, I want to be a follower of Jesus, it means that we're taking one step forward. We're moving forward. It's hard to follow Jesus and stay at the same position. I think it's impossible to follow Jesus and walk backwards. When we look at the true definition of following Jesus. And so how do you measure your movement forward? I think it's interesting that I think the clearest way that we can measure, the most accurate way that we can measure if we're moving forward, is by our influence on our environment. Is by this thing called influence on our environment, on our world. Recently, our youngest son, our only son, Thomas, he turned one. And a few days before he turned one, he started walking. He had done a little bit of walking, but he started walking. He started taking steps. And before long, he was walking across the room. And we were just going nuts. We were just celebrating. Mia was going crazy. We're yelling and yahooing. This is awesome. We get the chocolate out. You know, we're having a celebration that Thomas is taking a step forward. He's moving forward. And in the natural, that just comes natural for us. If a child was sitting there and not developing, then we would start some observations to work out what's going on. And a natural thing for a healthy child is to develop, is to move forward. And the same is with us as followers of Jesus. A healthy thing is that we move forward. Who agrees, yeah? A healthy thing is that we move forward. It's interesting because as Tom develops, you know, it's awesome because he starts to realize that he can now use his arms, he can now use his legs for self-defense. And he's celebrating more than all of us now, because these things that once just hung down by the side of him that he couldn't really use, he's actually able to grab a fist, and he's actually able to use them for self-defense against his sister, which is awesome. And this body that sort of laid there and he had troubles with balance, he is now able to hurl it across the room, tackle her, and get some revenge for the last 12 months, which is awesome. I think it's awesome. We have a lot of fun at home. Just while we're talking about kids, nothing related to what I'm talking about tonight, but I worked out the other day that the most frustrating task about being a parent is changing car seats. Taking car seats out of one car into the other. Does anyone agree? It is the most frustrating thing, honestly, that I've faced. It's this week. It's shocking. But maybe God's just teaching me patience. I'm not sure. All those that don't have kids are like, what is the big deal? But when you're crawling in the back trying to unhook the anchor points, it's shocking. It really is bad. But just put them on a motorbike, I reckon. But how do we measure our movement forward? How do we measure that? Like I said before, it's by influence. I believe one of the biggest ways is by our influence. Looking around us saying, if Ben ceased to exist right now, would there be any difference in the people around him? Or is Ben just sucking oxygen? If I cease to exist, if I cease to be in my environment, the influence of people around me, is there any positive difference, or am I just existing? Is Ben having an influence on his world? A pretty big question to ask, because we all want to leave this place knowing that we had purpose and we had influence. And I can't think of a better way than looking at the Bible, becoming a follower of Jesus, and saying, this is the best thing we can give our life to. The movement forward individually of us with God and us corporately together as we transform our community. Sunday night, actually it was last Sunday night, Monday morning, I woke up about 2 o'clock, and I had these thoughts going through my head. I believe they were God. And he started speaking to me about Daniel and his three mates. Who's familiar with the story of Daniel? I didn't know what was going on, why this kept coming to me, but I soon realized that this was such a strategic story, and I believe that God wants to encourage us tonight from this old story, but very true story, and profound story about how four people actually changed a nation. You can find the story in Daniel chapter 1, and just a bit of the history as I paraphrase here. We have a story that happened, a true story in history, and there's a guy called King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a king. He's cool. He's doing the stuff. And he goes across with his army, and he defeats another nation called Israel. And that's what you do. You defeat them. You beat them up. You take what they have. You take it back. He took their treasure, their gold, their silver, their money. He took possession of that, which is what you do when you beat somebody up, apparently. But he also had this brain snap. He thought, just maybe I can take some of their best influential young people I can indoctrinate them, I can train them how to speak like a Babylonian, how to talk like a Babylonian, how to smell like a Babylonian, and just maybe, in my quest to be more powerful and my kingdom to expand, this could work really well for me. So this is what he did. He beat the Israelites up. He took all the money, he took all the treasure, but he also took a group of young people in the quest to change their culture, to change their values, to change their beliefs so that he and Babylon could be more powerful. And I love this story because here in chapter 1 of Daniel, it tells us that here Daniel and his three mates, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here they are, they've been taken captive as young people. They're in a foreign place. They're surrounded by a nation who believes the total opposite to them, who their value system is the exact opposite, who worships idols and a king, and they were brought up to worship the Almighty Living God. And here they are, just four people in a multitude of people, and they have to make a decision. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was pretty strategic. He took them aside and he did some full-on training for 3 years to teach them the culture, the society, everything, the value system, everything about Babylon. And here we have, I find this fascinating, that here we have in a couple of chapters, the same nation has now turned and is worshiping the true living God. It fascinates me that four guys could have such an influence that they didn't only influence a small guys group. They didn't just influence the people that were training them. They influenced a nation. How do we measure our movement? I believe it's by influence. I believe that this story of Daniel, this true story but simple story, is so profound and should inspire us so much about what is possible through God. But when a group of people decide, society might be saying one thing, my culture might be saying something opposite, the people at work might be saying this, they might boo-hoo Christianity, they might boo-hoo my walk with Christ. But what is possible as we stand and have an influence on our world? Who's in your world? Just have a think about that for a second. Who is in your world? Who's in your world of influence? Who's influencing you? Think about the influences of the environments that you belong to. Maybe it's a social group, maybe it's a work group, at home, and whatever it is, whatever group you're involved in where there's some sort of interaction with humans. Have a think about those environments and have a think about if you cease to exist, would there be any influence? I believe that as we move forward, the biggest measurable, the biggest evidence that we're moving forward is our influence. Therefore, if we're not influencing these environments, are we moving forward? Are we moving forward in everything that God would have for us as either followers of Jesus here, or maybe we're just inquisitive about what this whole Christianity is, but are we moving forward? I believe that one of the keys to Daniel and his three mates to keep moving forward was their ability to resist temptation. And I want to just spend a few minutes talking about this because I believe that that was one of the critical things that they held so strongly onto, was not only the trust in God, but this resilience that God had put in them and this strength to resist temptation. We're obviously living in different times, and I'm glad, because as a meat eater, I love the fact that we're now living, and Kurt would agree with me, we now can marinate our meat, we can have it medium rare, we can have it however we want, but in those days, meat, red meat that was offered to idols, etc., was something that Daniel and his three mates had to stand up against, was a temptation. What are you faced with? What's a temptation for a young adult living in 2017? I don't think we have to look far. There's a distortion of sexuality. There's criticism, there's gossip, there's anger, there's hatred. All types of sin, all types of stuff that constantly comes, and that's just a good day. Lust. These things that just roll around in our mind of lustful thoughts and things that society and the culture is just telling us is right and is normal and is accepted. I believe that if we're serious about moving forward, there's going to be temptations that we need to resist. And God will give us the strength, but we're the ones that have to resist them. Who knows that? God isn't going to come down and resist temptation for you. He's going to help you and help you and give you the courage and the resilience to do that. But ultimately, the decision lies with us. As I was just praying about this whole thought of moving forward, especially as youth and young adults, moving forward, I was so conscious that temptation is such a big thing that comes, and once we submit, once we give into that temptation, it just causes such a journey of a staying still, retreating, stepping back in condemnation and guilt, causes us to retreat and walk backwards from moving forward. Daniel and his three mates were able to resist temptation. They were able to resist what the culture was coming and saying, this is what's acceptable, this is the normal. 99.9% of people in that nation believed one thing, and there was four people that believed something different. They had a resilience. They had a conviction. And the outcome is that there was influence. A whole nation turned around and worshipped the true God. I'll just get the band to come back up now. It'd be awesome. I've just got one verse and we're going to finish up tonight. This is a passage found in Luke chapter 4. This is when Jesus had just been baptized, water baptized. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Who knows that Jesus was tempted, but he never gave in to the temptation? And a few months ago, I saw just this verse here, the parallel between verse 1 and verse 14. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the desert to be tempted. After the temptation, this is what verse 14 says. Listen to this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went into the desert, into temptation, full of the Holy Spirit. But he returned from the temptation in the power of the Spirit. There's something that is going on more than just us resisting temptation. The fact that you can have thoughts of lust come into your mind, but you can take them captive and focus on something lovely, something kind, something good, means that you're doing more than just in yourself. It means that you're actually opening yourself up to the Spirit's power to work through your life. It was only after Jesus had been through the 40 days of temptation that he actually returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. This struck me again. The fact that it's actually bigger than us. Of course, when we resist temptation, it's for our own good, but it's bigger than us. It's so that we can move forward. It's so that we can have influence. It's so that every person in Caboolture that does not know the name of Jesus can find someone who can introduce them to Jesus. Someone who's moving forward. Someone who's not moving back, but someone who's moving forward, resisting temptation, knowing that every time we resist temptation, we build up a reservoir of power of God to work through our life. Who's excited about that? Awesome. It's so much more than you. Of course, it starts with you, and it's important. But whatever it is, I encourage you as young people, as young adults, there's decisions to be made. The enemy would come to destroy our movement forward. If there's someone here that's not tempted, guess what? You're probably not moving. Because the enemy's not interested in targeting people that don't move. Who knows that we have an enemy? His name's Satan, it's the devil. And the worst thing you could do in his eyes is move forward. He's threatened by people that move forward, young people that move forward. Young people like Daniel and his three friends that say, hang on, even though all the odds are against us, the beliefs, the value system in this nation is against us, we believe that as we move forward, as we stay true, as we resist temptation, that we can see something that is never seen before in history. The transformation of a suburb. The transformation of Caboolture. There's more than four of us here tonight. As you say yes to him again, let's just believe for God to do some awesome things. We're going to sing one more song before we finish up tonight. But before I do, as everybody just closes their eyes, I just want you to close your eyes, and maybe there's one thing that God has spoke to you through me tonight, or through the worship, or just straight from God. I just want you to engage with God. I want you to make a decision in your heart, whatever he's saying, that you say yes to. Maybe he hasn't even spoken to you yet. Decide in your heart, whatever he's going to say, you're going to say yes to. But maybe you're here tonight and you said, well, I don't actually know God. I've never actually come into that place of relationship with God. In a moment, you'll have the opportunity, an invitation. See, God never forces himself on us. It's always by invitation. To start the journey tonight. To start a journey. To know that there's always someone who will never leave you, never forsake you. No matter the journey, your life, the twists of life, that there is a God who loves you. He is real. He has died for your sin. And it's that moment of decision that he's looking for. If that's you and you're in that category, maybe this is the first time you've been to church. Maybe you've been to church a fair bit, but you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, take control, I surrender my life to you. If that's you, as everyone's just closing their eyes and bowing their heads, if that's you, I just want to say a prayer. Just raise your hand. I want to include you in a prayer tonight. It's a decision to say yes to Jesus. To say, Jesus, I'm coming back. to the very place where it's going to start. Saying yes to Him. I want my sins forgiven. I want a brand new start tonight. Anyone here wants to say yes to Him tonight? It's not by accident that you're here. It's not by accident. Awesome thing you can do is say yes to Him. Anybody want one more time? Jesus, we come together and we just thank You for Your awesome love. I just thank You that as we move forward, as we resist temptation, that God, something is happening more than just in ourselves. That as we saw that Daniel and his three mates, as they moved forward, as they took a step forward, as they resisted temptation, there was a transformation of a nation. We just declare that over Caboolture right now. We just declare that people that were once walking in darkness will see the light of Christ through us. That as we get out on the streets, as we get out beyond the four walls of this church, that God, You'll build something that nothing can stop. Amen. Why don't we all stand tonight? We're going to finish with this awesome song.